this. And then so he starts to do that, and he connects with the ball. He connects with the ball. So it starts to work when he starts to imitate his coach. Today, we're going to be talking about how a disciple, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Like his teacher. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. We're going to be hopping around a bunch in God's Word today. I encourage you, grab a Bible. If you don't have one, grab one of the pew Bibles, the blue ones. I'll have page numbers up here. I actually have the scripture references, because I know sometimes it's hard to follow if you're kind of behind. So if you get behind, just jot it down, and you can catch up, all right? We've got a lot more on the screens today to try to help in that regard. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. This is Jesus speaking. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Lord, would you reveal to us the truth in your word? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us afresh? We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is part four in our series on healing. Last week, we talked about how Jesus gave all believers the authority to heal. Specifically, we talked about commanding sickness to leave, commanding the body to be healed. I'm just curious. I asked, or I encouraged you to do it. That was, I guess, 2 weeks ago. I'm just curious. How many of you tried it? Yeah? Hey, all right. How many of you saw something happen, whether it maybe partial healing or full healing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It works. It really does. Praise the Lord. That's really encouraging. Okay, so a disciple, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. That's what we're talking about today. There's going to be a lot of practical application, a lot of kind of how-to today. We typically want the results. We want the home run, but we don't like the training. We don't want to learn how to hold the bat the right way. We don't want to learn how to swing the right way. But if we skip the training, a lot of times we don't see those results. Now, from my understanding, back in Jesus' day, the Greeks, you know, the Romans, their way of discipling was kind of like what we see today in a classroom setting. You've got the lecturer and then the students. And it's a lot of just kind of information being told to another, to the students. But in Jesus' day, the Jewish way of discipling was quite a bit different. It was more like what we would think of as like an apprentice. They would shadow their teacher, their rabbi. They would imitate them. They'd say what they would do. So they would say what they would say, and they would do what they would do. We might think of this today in a scenario kind of like a student teacher shadowing a veteran teacher, you know, like in a school setting. Or maybe you go to McDonald's and you see somebody with an in-training badge. And who's standing right next to him? The trainer. Now, the trainee isn't, you know, when they're looking for the buttons on the register, they're not like, oh, this is how it, you know, this is how you're supposed to do it. They don't know any better. What do? They follow the trainer. The trainer shows them what they do, and then they imitate it. They copy it. All right, Jesus himself said, a disciple, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. That's Jesus' definition of what a disciple is. That's why he said, follow me, imitate me, do what I do. So today, we're going to take a look over the shoulder of Jesus, so to speak, kind of like the disciples would have, and learn a little bit more about how to heal. So the first thing is, the disciples learned to heal the sick by imitating Jesus. They imitated him. Last week, this is a little bit of a review from last time, if you weren't here, we talked about different ways to heal. The first one was to command the sickness to leave. I gave the analogy of like, Jesus is our sheriff, and we are law enforcement, we're the deputies. And the sheriff tells the law enforcement cops, arrest the lawbreakers, right? Jesus tells the disciples, heal the sick. So if I'm the cop and I see a man attacking a lady, trying to steal the purse, me commanding, the sickness to leave is kind of like me saying, stop what you're doing, leave, freeze. I'm telling the sickness to stop what it's doing, harassing the person, and to leave. And we saw examples of this, Luke 4:35 and 39, Jesus rebuked a demon, told it to leave, and he rebuked a fever of Simon's mother-in-law. You can rebuke a fever. You can rebuke a sickness. Then we also looked at how Paul followed that example in Acts 16, and he rebuked a demon. Who was Paul imitating? Jesus. The disciples are supposed to imitate their teacher. And then we looked at commanding the body, the affected body part, to be healed. This one's a little bit harder to understand. The example is when Jesus says to the deaf man, he puts his fingers on his ears and says, "Be opened." He's telling the body part that had been affected, his ears, to be restored. He didn't say deafness leave. He could have. But for this example, he told the body that had been affected to be restored. That'd be kind of like saying, "Ma'am, here's your purse back. I'm restoring what was taken from you." Okay? Now, that's all just kind of review. Now, we're going to get to stuff for today. Another way, laying on of hands, laying hands on the person. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, just a page or two before, verse 40. Luke 4, verse 40. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, Jesus. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He laid his hands on them. This would be kind of like in the cop analogy. What if the robber's trying to, you know, steal the purse and he doesn't realize the cop is behind him and the cop, you know, puts his hand on his shoulder and then the robber kind of, you know, looks behind him and he realizes he's caught and so he stops. The cop didn't even have to say anything. He's exercising his authority just by laying his hands on him. So when you lay hands on a person who's sick, you're exercising your authority, telling that sickness, get out. Just by your presence, just by your hand being there. Jesus used this a lot. Here he did it with every person. And there's many times he used it kind of in connection with some of these other ways. So we're going to look at that. We just talked about how Jesus rebuked the fever. If you look in Matthew 8:15, you'll see Matthew's account of the same story, and it says that he touched her hand and the fever left. So what's going on? Luke highlights the rebuke. Matthew highlights the laying on of hands. Jesus did both. He touched her hand and rebuked the fever. You can do both. Everybody turn with me to Acts chapter 28, 7 through 9. Acts chapter 28. Paul, at the end of his life, they're on a boat and they get shipwrecked and they land or kind of arrive, I guess you could say, on this island called Malta. Malta. And there's a man that's kind of the chief man of the island called Publius. And so if we pick up in verse 7. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed and putting his hands on him, healed him. He's laying his hands on him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. Who is Paul imitating? Jesus, a disciple. Paul is a disciple imitating Jesus in the way that he healed. We talked about commanding the affected body part to be healed. Here's an example of Jesus doing that and laying hands on somebody. You don't have to turn there. I'll just mention to you. There's a leper that comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And it says Jesus touched him and said, "Be clean." He did both. Laid his hands on him and commanded the affected body part to be healed. These are different ways that we can go about healing. It's not a formula. It's really just more about the principle of it. All right, here's another one. This is a new one. This one may sound a little weird. Declaring what is to be. Declare what is to be. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Now, the reason why I'm going to all these verses is because I could just tell you something, but I mean, who am I? You know, I want to see what God's word says about it, because that's the truth. God's word is the truth. So that's why I bring up a lot of scripture, because that is where the truth is found. Jesus Christ is the truth, and we find out the truth through his word. So John 4, starting in verse 49. This is a passage maybe you're familiar with, maybe not. There's a man who's an official, and his son is ill. His son is ill. We're going to pick up in verse 49. The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go. your son will live. That was it. That's all he said. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, the servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. Jesus just declared what was to be. This is kind of like saying, you know, you got the robber, and, you know, you come up on the scene, and the robber's frozen, and then another way to exercise your authority would be like to say, ma'am, you're going to get your purse back in just a second. It's another way of exercising our authority as believers. Now, for me, I use all four of these from time to time. And I like this last one because it stirs up my faith. I'm declaring what is to be. It works. Think of it like this. Your house has water in it, like in the plumbing, right? And outside the house, you can hook up a garden hose to a spigot so that you can water the plants. Any plant that needs water. We are the garden hoses. Jesus, he's the living water, right? So specifically for this example, we're going to talk about his healing power, the healing power of Jesus flowing. We are not the healer. I am not a healer. Jesus is the healer. We're the garden hoses. So we are essentially the delivery system to carry the healing to the person that needs healing. We carry the water to the plant that's, you know, withering or whatever. Now, water is ready and available because it's already been paid for. I don't have to call the water company and say, hey, can you turn the water on? I'd like to water my plants, right? It's already paid for. Jesus already paid for our healing 2,000 years ago from the whipping post to the cross. That's what we looked at in week one, forgetting on all his benefits. Not only did he pay for our sins, he paid for our forgiveness, I guess you could say. He paid for our healing. So we don't need to ask the Father because it's already been paid for. His answer is already yes. It was yes 2,000 years ago. All right, so let's say we hook up the garden hose. We point it at a plant. Does the water come out automatically? No. What do you have to do? Turn the spigot, right? The spigot doesn't create the water. It's really just releasing the water so that you can apply it to the plant that needs healing, needs water. We release the water by turning the spigot. The spigot is our faith. Spigot is our faith. So I can point that garden hose at as many plants as I want, but unless I turn on that spigot, no water is going to be released. So here's the deal. If I'm that sick person, if I'm that plant that's withering, and I see the garden hose on me, but nothing's happening, it's easy for me to assume, I guess the water company doesn't want to turn the water on today. I guess God doesn't want to heal me. Would that be a correct assumption? No, because there are other factors. This is huge, because there's many times that I've thought that. I guess I've prayed, I didn't see anything happen. I guess God doesn't want to heal me. There are other factors than just if God wants to heal me. Is the spigot turned on? Remember, the water is already on. It's already been paid for. So now, if that happens, I don't jump to that conclusion. I guess God wants me to stay sick. I don't jump to that conclusion anymore. There are other factors. So how do we turn the spigot? How do we stir up our faith? First of all, let me be clear. I am not talking about saving faith, like for salvation. There are many genuine, heartfelt Christians who love the Lord and are serving him as well as they know how, who do not understand faith for healing. That was one of them. I've been one of them most of my life, okay? So it's just a kind of a different category. So you can be a genuine Christian and still not quite understand this. Second, this very quickly turns into the blame game. You don't have enough faith. That is not my message. That is not Jesus's message. He never blamed a sick person for not having enough faith. The only people he said anything about little faith to was his disciples. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. So let's look at that. When he said that, Matthew 17, we're going to start in verse 18. I love the sound of actual pages turning rather than click, 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 click. And Jesus, okay, so verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon. The backstory, there's a boy who has a demon. The father brings him to some of the disciples. They can't get him cast out. So we pick up here, verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly, if I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Remember, they had 10 chapters prior, they had already been given to authority, the authority to heal and to cast out demons, and they had already been successful in doing that. So they had already been doing it successfully, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it wasn't working. And I think it's because Jesus says, because of your little faith. The King James says, because of your unbelief. And I think that paints a picture of they stopped believing they could do it. Christ had already told them, I have given you authority. And they stopped believing that what Christ said was true about themselves. They stopped believing they could do it. I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't say why. Maybe because the boy was convulsing and it was a pretty rough scene. And maybe they got a little bit, you know, oh, I can't deal with that. It's kind of like Peter on the water. Jesus says, come. Peter starts to step out on the water, and he's fine as long as he remembers Jesus said I could come, which means I can come. But then he starts looking at the wind and the waves. He's like, ugh, I'm just a man. I can't walk on water. And he starts to sink. He disqualified himself. He forgot that Christ told him he could do it, and he disqualified himself. So I think, personally, that's kind of what happened here. The disciples saw the bad convulsions and all that stuff, the seizures, and thought, ugh, I can't do this. I'm just a man. And they forgot that Jesus said, I have given you authority to heal. So what I'm trying to say by this is this. You can have great faith for healing in one moment, and then the next moment be in doubt. They were. It's not like an all or nothing. Sometimes I think we think, oh, this person has great faith and they lay hands on someone and everybody gets healed. That doesn't happen, I don't think, other than for Jesus. It's easy to fall into doubt when we forget what Christ has told us about us, that we've been given authority to heal. I love what they say at the end. They come up to Jesus, and it's in, did you notice it's in private? Jesus never said in front of people, you didn't get healed. Well, first of all, everybody got healed. So he never had to say that. Because everybody that came to Jesus got healed. The only people that didn't get healed were the ones that did not come to him. Pool of Bethesda. Some people have brought that up. There was a multitude of invalids there. Jesus only healed one of them. See, God doesn't want to heal everybody. It's the early part of his ministry. He walks up. Nobody comes to him. He came to the guy and said, do you want to be healed? He was offering it, and he healed them right away. So the only reason those others didn't is because they didn't come to Jesus. They were all looking at the healing lottery, wondering when the pool of Bethesda would happen. You know, the waters get stirred up. They were looking at this, I wonder when God will heal, and miss the healer. That sounds a lot like me previously, and the church at large. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that sounds familiar. We're all kind of wondering, when will the sheriff come down and arrest somebody? And the sheriff is like, look, guys, you're missing it. I told you to do it. Yes, the sheriff, I still believe, does come down every once in a while and arrest people. But what ends up happening is when that happens, then we forget we've been given authority, and then we start to say, man, I wonder when the sheriff's going to do it again. And we sit back even more. We take even less responsibility for what Christ has commanded us to do. He comes in to do that to show us, hey, remember, this is how you swing. Anyways, let's come back to what we were saying. The disciples say, why could we not cast it out? They said, where did we miss it? Which I think is awesome. Because they were humble enough to say, we missed it. Not, God, you don't want to heal. And Jesus showed God wanted to heal because he healed the boy. He didn't say, you know, it's not God's timing. He healed him right away. He always did the will of the Father. So just because the person doesn't get healed doesn't mean God doesn't want to heal me or God doesn't want to heal me right now. Maybe it's the person's spigot is turned off and they don't realize it. I know for me, there's a lot of times I prayed for people. I didn't even know what that was. I assumed I was praying in faith, but I wasn't. Maybe you can relate to that. I had forgotten, or at that point, I didn't even know I had authority to heal. But there's times I pray for people now, and it's not working, because my faith is not turned up. I'm not believing, oh, I do have authority to heal, because Christ has given it to me. It's not our own personal authority. I didn't make my badge. Jesus gave it to me. Jesus gave it to you. So faith involves, what is faith? Faith involves using our authority. Faith involves believing we have authority to heal and using it, exercising it. Did you notice what he said at the end of verse 20? For truly I say to you, if you have faith, he's talking about what faith is. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you, not for God. We already know it's nothing's impossible for God, but he's talking about us. We don't ask the Father to move the mountain. We command the mountain to move. We have authority over it. So in this area of sickness, I command that mountain of sickness to leave, and it moves. It might move an inch at a time, but it's supposed to move. So faith involves believing that we've been given the authority to heal. Christ said we have it, so it's just really saying, yes, I believe you, Jesus. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. I know it sounds crazy, but I believe Jesus was telling the truth. I don't believe he was just like talking euphemistically or something. I believe he's being like legit real about it. You're going to be able to do this stuff because I've given you that authority. Interesting. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 8. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, a couple pages back. There is a centurion who's got a servant who is home ill. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 8. But the centurion replied, let me back in verse 7. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion doesn't even ask. He just says, my servant is sick. And Jesus offers, I'll come and heal him. That's how willing Jesus is to heal us. I'll come and heal him. The man didn't even ask yet. Verse 8, but the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. The centurion was under authority from his superior, and there are guys under his authority. It's the same way as us with Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. We are under his authority, and he's given us authority over sickness and demons. The centurion understood authority, exercising commands. I say, go, and he goes. I say, come, and he comes. He even said to Jesus, say the word. Just say the word. Just give the command. He understood authority, and Jesus called that great faith. Faith has always been a really hard topic for me to understand, especially for healing. But I understand authority. That made a lot more sense to me. And Jesus calls that great faith. Seem more within reach. Okay, so what if I'm praying, and I am praying in faith, and I'm believing that I do have authority, and I'm commanding the sickness to leave, exercising that authority, and I don't see anything happen? All right, everybody turn with me. Mark chapter 8. This is a passage I have been excited to read for weeks. I've been looking forward to this right here. This is huge. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to Jesus a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? He looked up, the blind man did, and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. And he opened his eyes, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. He laid his hands on him. Then he asked him, do you see anything? That's kind of like asking a deaf person, can you hear anything? Is it better? Has there been a change? That's like asking someone who's in pain, after you pray for them, is the pain gone? Is it less? Is it better? The man had received a partial healing. I could see men, but they looked like trees walking. I guess it was blurry or fuzzy or something. It was a partial healing. I think many of us miss our healing because we don't realize it can come in increments. It can come in stages, if you want to call it that. We're all wanting the magic poof instant. But that doesn't always happen. It's funny, we'll sit at the doctor's house, sit at the doctor's office for hours. We'll wait at the pharmacy for hours for our medicine. We'll take the medicine, we'll wait for days before it takes effect. But we, when someone offers to pray for us, we give them about 60 seconds. And then we're like, okay, that's enough. If we will be more patient in the moment, we will see more in the moment results. So Jesus laid his hands on a guy twice, as weird as that sounds. So if he gets two, shouldn't we be able to lay our hands on or pray for someone more than once? If Jesus gets two, how many do we get? 50? Right? So the next, we've talked about different ways to heal. Now, after we've prayed, you know, I've mentioned four. There's a whole bunch that Jesus does. I've just picked the four that makes the most sense to me that I've used, so I know they work, okay? To some degree, I have seen them work. So after praying, we ask them to check it out. If they have something that's measurable, sometimes you don't, and then, you know, I guess you can pray again or you just stop after that. But if it's something like, I'm in pain, check it out. For me, I typically, I'll ask them beforehand so I know where it was. So like, scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain level? 10's real bad. 10, okay, and we pray. And when I say pray, I'm talking about declaring what is to, I lay hands on them, I declare what is to be, I command that pain to go, command the body to be healed. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, check it out. It's like a 7, okay? So what do you do when it drops just a little? Thank God for the improvement and pray again. Jesus, thank you for bringing the pain down from a 10 to a 7. I know that you want him to be completely healed because everybody that came to you got completely healed. So in the name of Jesus, I declare that he will not have any pain in his foot. Pain, leave his foot now. In the name of Jesus, come out. Foot be healed. Muscles in the foot be healed. Whatever you got to do. We saw that happen today. It went from a 10 to a 7 to a 2. And then 0's no pain. It took about 2 minutes. I'm not making this up. This is happening for real. Real stuff is happening in our congregation. It happened this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to point any attention to anybody else but Jesus. Do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. Think about it this way. We know Jesus prayed 2 times. He says that. And we know he prayed in faith both times. So what I don't do is this. Pray the first time, like I described. And then the second time, I say, okay, Heavenly Father, would you please heal this person if it's your will? That's starting to pray in doubt. Now that, we don't want to do. So the second time, I just do the same thing again. I realized healing is spiritual warfare. There is a spiritual battle. The sickness, the blindness, was resisting Jesus to some degree. That sounds weird to say, but it was. So if they're going to resist Jesus, the sickness is, how much more are they, and he knew his authority, how much more is it going to try to resist us who are just becoming aware of our authority? It doesn't happen all the time, but we need to be prepared for it. There's another passage in go with me to Luke chapter 8. The legion of demons, the man that had the legion of demons. This is an example where the demons resisted Jesus. Luke chapter 8. A lot of times when I say that, people are like, what? No, there's no way. So look at it for yourself. Luke chapter 8, verse 28. So the man had the demons, right? The legion of demons. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Do you see? It's written kind of backwards from the way it is chronologically. He commanded the spirit to come out of the man. And did the spirit come out immediately? No, it resisted. I beg you, do not torment me. It was resisting to some degree. And if we look at the story, eventually they say, let us go into the pigs. And he says, go. So if the demons are going to resist Jesus, then they're probably going to try to see if we really believe that we have that authority. So what I'm trying to say is just pray again and then pray again. It's funny. I don't consider myself someone who has great faith. I consider myself someone who's got a little bit of faith. I can get the spigot open a little bit. I can believe, I'll put it this way. I probably don't normally believe that God or that the pain can come down from a 10 to a 0, so to speak, instantly. But I bet I can believe that God can take the pain down from a 10 to a 9. And once it gets to a 9, I can believe, okay, I believe he can take it from a 9 to an 8. And we pray again, 7, 6, etc., incrementally. So I don't have a great faith. I have a little faith with a lot of persistence. I'm willing to pray for someone for repeatedly. I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to be. I think that's just a part of, I'm in training. We're all in training. So if you've never done it before, get ready to pray again. It's okay. I mean, people look at you like you're crazy when you say, check it out. How's it feel? They're like, you could tell that nobody expects for the pain to change. Nobody expects to be healed. We have a church at large, not just us, we have an atmosphere of prayer, but we don't have an atmosphere of expectation for healing. I'm not condemning us. I've been the same way. So let's create an atmosphere where, hey, we're expecting this thing to go. Why? Because Jesus said we've been given authority, and it's got to go. I might have to be persistent, but it's got to get out of there. I mean, are we in the Lord's army? Are we in the Lord's country club? Remember, we're in training. We miss a lot of the training because we weren't following Jesus with the disciples in person. But they were with him for 3 years, and he was constantly correcting and training them. This is good news. This passage right here, the Mark chapter 8 with the blind man, this is a Jesus-approved way to go about healing. And it works great for people who are brand new into the whole healing arena, I guess you could say. Because most of the time you don't come out swinging with great faith. I didn't. I had just a tiny little bit of faith. But if you add the persistence, it'll still work. All right, we're running low on time here, so I'm going to continue on here. So again, like I said before, if the pain drops, make sure you praise the Lord. Thank God. Lord, thank you. Why? Because that stirs up my faith. Hey, it's working. It's working. Thank you that the pain came down. Thank you that the pain came down. The church is supposed to be a safe place for us to put this into practice. We're supposed to be able to, if someone's sick or in pain, say, hey, let's lay hands on the person. Let's declare what is to be. Let's command that pain to go. Let's command that body to be healed. You don't have to use all four. Just pick one that seems to click with you. If you want to use multiple ones, then do that. I am. It's not a formula. It's just principles. We're just different ways of exercising the authority Christ has given us. Now, we don't need to be a people who are on the bench complaining at the guy who's trying to swing and maybe he's missing it. At least he's up trying, right? This should be a place of grace and mercy, a safe place. All right, some helpful kind of practical tips. Start with small aches and pains. All right, I started with, I think it was the first thing I prayed for like this, commanding it to go, was a headache. Or maybe it was like a pain in my back or something. The first person I prayed for like this, not myself, was Harrison. He was playing under his bed, and he crawled out, and he hit his head on right the corner of the bed. I mean, you could just tell it stung, because he was, you know, he was crying, he was in pain. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. I commanded the pain to go, commanded his head to be healed, and I said, does it feel better? He didn't understand scale of 1 to 10, so I just said, does it feel better? He said, no, it still hurts really bad. And he was kind of looking at me like I was crazy. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray again. And we prayed again. Does it feel better? No, it still hurts real bad. Prayed again, a third time. Does it feel better? No, it still hurts real bad. I prayed a fourth time. Does it feel better? He did this. He got up. Like, I didn't know what was happening. I had no idea. He didn't say anything for like 30 seconds. He walked around like this. And I was like, what's going on? I thought he was like having a seizure or something. I said, what's happening? Tell me something. He said, all the pain is gone. I started with boo-boos. I started small. Why? Because it's easier to get my faith to turn up than to start by praying for cancer. Let's just be realistic. If I've never prayed for a headache and seen it go away, how am I all of a sudden going to have this amazing faith to pray for a cancer to disappear? Now, I believe God does give us a gift of faith that is far beyond our normal faith. But that's just as he wills. I'm talking about a consistent where the apostles were regularly doing miracles. This is the type that we can grow in. The faith of a mustard seed, it grows like a muscle. It gets stronger. Okay, I'll start with 5 pounds. Okay, now I can do 5 pounds. Let's try 10 pounds. I'll start with praying over a boo-boo. Now I'll pray for shoulder pain. Now I'll pray for, I don't know. I mean, just, you know, however you want to do it. Just a practical tip. Start with small stuff. Next, write it down when Jesus answers that prayer. How much of the Bible is talked about, let's remember the deeds that Jesus has done. Let's praise him for his holy name. Sometimes we're so quick to be like, hey, you're healed. Okay, let's go get a burger. And we don't take the time to thank God for what he's done. We're not the one healing, he is. So I try to make as much of a big deal about it as I can, and then I write it down. Because there's days I pray for people still, and I don't see anything happen. And it's honestly very discouraging. So I can go back and I can say, hey, I remember Jesus healed this person. Jesus healed this person. I even got a note on my phone, so if I don't have like a journal with me. I'm just trying to find ways to encourage myself so that I don't drift into unbelief. Because when it doesn't work, it's easy to say, well, I guess I don't have authority to heal. And I still do. I just am falling into unbelief and doubt. So I would encourage you, as you start to see it, Jesus heals someone. Write it down. Go back and review it. It will encourage you. It helps me. From before, I was not convinced. The spigot was off. Now I would consider myself someone who is somewhat convinced. I've got a little bit of faith. And I'm growing, I feel like, to becoming more fully convinced. I don't like to talk about myself because I feel like people might assume I'm wanting to bring attention to myself. But there's no other way for me to talk about practical application unless I do that. So please understand, all I want us to do is to look at Jesus. Jesus is our T-ball coach. And he's saying, do it like this. Do it the way I'm doing it. Rather than, hah! And I spent many years doing it that way and saw very little results. But when I started to do it the way Jesus did, what do you know? It started to work. And he's cheering us on. If we miss it, he's not saying, go sit down. He's saying, I'm so glad you're even up. Have you ever had one of those times where you want to go to pray for someone? It's like you're going up to the plate and you're like, you chicken out. I still do that. There's times I'm in the store and I'm like, that person's got an arm cast or something, or wheelchair, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it, and then do I feel like Jesus is saying, oh, man, I can't believe he did that? No, he's like, come on, Josh. I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it. Let me do it again. Give me another chance. I'm looking for opportunities. I'm trying to push myself up to the plate. I'm looking for those opportunities. My answer is, yes, Lord, I'm available. Use even me. It doesn't always work, and it doesn't always happen, but by golly, it's working more than it ever did before, so I feel like we're on to something here. Do you know that this last week, I guess last week and a half, we prayed for a gentleman who had like a level 7 pain in his side. We prayed a couple times, went down to 0. Come to find out later that afternoon, it was kidney stones. Jesus healed him of kidney stones. It took about a minute. There's another person who had cataracts. It looked very similar to the story with Mark 8, the blind man. We prayed, and we said, can you see? Is it any better? And he said, it's still a little cloudy, because there was the cloudiness. We prayed a second time. The cataracts were gone. We prayed twice, and Jesus healed him. Hallelujah! There was another lady who had a tumor on her right hip. We prayed, I think, 3 times, no change. 4th time, no change. 5th time, disappeared. Now, if I had stopped after the first time, it'd be easy for me to say, well, I guess today's not your day. God doesn't want to heal you. No, I've learned that there's a battle. The devil does not want to let go, and he will try to postpone the healing just long enough so that I'll give up, or whoever's praying will give up, because he knows he's got to go. If we persist, he has to go. We have the victory through Christ. We are battling from victory, not for victory. But there's a persistence there, just like Jesus persisted. He prayed again. A disciple, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Let's imitate Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for all that you did to teach your disciples. And thank you that you wrote it down so we had something to follow, because we didn't get to see it in person. And sometimes it's hard to believe a miracle can even happen if you don't see one in person. But Lord, we thank you that you are already doing miracles in this church with people we know. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. You are the healer. We want all the attention and all the glory to go to you. But you invite us up to bat and to take a swing. And you're going to coach us through it as long as we're just willing to try. Lord, may we have hearts that are willing to try. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.